Amen. He does love us, friend, whether you're here in the auditorium or you might be watching tonight. If you don't know Christ, He loves you. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood because He loves you. He came out of that tomb victorious over sin, death, and the grave because He loves us. And He wants to save us tonight. And if you don't know Christ, I beg you tonight, before even this service is over, that you'd cry out to Him, that you'd ask Him, that you'd call upon Him, as Romans 10:13 says, that you'd call upon the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter number 59 tonight. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. We'll look at the entirety of the chapter. But let me read verses 1 through 14 tonight. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear." God is never too burdened down that He can't hear. Now, we get heavy sometimes. We get burdened down sometimes. And we just feel like we are at our max. And we can't take anymore. We can't listen anymore. And we just need to go find a quiet place. God is never burdened. His ear, the Bible says, is never heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Boy, that's a catalog of iniquity, isn't it? But let me ask us tonight, do you have any idea why all of this is happening? The context here is Judah, it's Jerusalem, it's they have sinned against God. We've talked about this a lot in our study of the kings of Israel. This is the context, and they're going to eventually go into captivity. But at the end of the chapter, as we'll see tonight, God's going to deliver them in the millennial reign. He's going to deliver them when all is said and done. But the reason that they're here, the reason that they grope in the darkness, the reason that they don't have any peace, the reason that there is so much depravity, if you will, the reason in verse 11 they roar like bears and they mourn sore like doves, we look for judgment, the reason is found in verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. And here's the reason. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth is fallen in the street. She's a casualty, if you will. in the life of Judah, in the life of Israel. Wednesday night we saw Israel go into captivity to the Assyrians. Judah, Israel, Jerusalem, truth had fallen in the streets. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, and I really am not, I'm not trying to be cute with this title by any means, but I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Help Her Up. When someone falls, what do? We help them up. When a lady falls, what do? We help her up. The Bible says here in verse number 14 that truth hath fallen in the street. There was nobody in Jerusalem or Judah, there's nobody in Israel that was telling the truth. Now please don't misunderstand, truth always wins. But truth in the life of this nation had fallen in the street. The Bible says, verse 14, and equity cannot enter. There was no judgment. There was no justice because truth had fallen into the streets or in the street. And so tonight I want to bring you a message. And by the way, it's going to be a little different than you think. Let me preface. And whenever you have to preface a message, let me just pray. Can we do that? Let me just pray. Father, I do pray that you would help us tonight. And I pray that you would teach us. And Father, I pray that we would take the truths that we see in Isaiah chapter 59 and that we honestly apply them to not only our lives, yes, but that we would, Father, that we would apply them even in the day in which we live. Father, there is a dearth of truth. Not just biblical truth, but just truth in our world today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help as we look tonight. Father, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would allow our eyes to be open and our minds to be pricked to think tonight and think about truth as we compare and apply the verses that we have before us tonight. Please help, Lord. Please teach. Help me to be very clear tonight. Please help everyone again, Lord, just to have their minds ready to think on truth tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't believe as a church we have any problem with many of the truths of the Word of God. I don't believe that at all. We know the truth of the gospel, do we not? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scripture. We have the truth on how a person is saved. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by church membership. We're not saved by the money that's placed in an offering plate. We are saved by the application of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We have truth tonight, do we not? We know what the Bible says about, we could mention many, many things. We know what the Bible says about baptism. We know what the Bible says about church polity. We know what the Bible says about a pastor and a deacon. We have truth tonight. We know what the Bible says about how a church ought to behave herself in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It tells us that we have truth tonight from God's Word. Now the nation of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem had truth as well. But they let it fall. They quit studying it, or at least they quit listening to it. They quit applying it in their lives. But tonight we have truth. But tonight I want to take us in a direction, and I'm hoping, and my only prayer is that I'm going to help some folks tonight to be an encouragement, maybe to assuage some trepidation in the hearts of individuals tonight. And I simply tonight, I preface this by saying, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination tonight, going to make light of what we've gone through in the past 2 months. I'm not going to make light of anybody who has been affected with this virus that has affected us the past 2 months. I'm not making light of that. I know individuals who have struggled. They have recovered, praise the Lord. I don't know anyone who has passed away from this, but I know individuals who have had this. They have recovered. So I am not making light of this at all tonight, but I'm asking us to do this tonight. I am asking us to start to listen. And I believe most of us do this tonight. We have a pretty knowledgeable congregation. I believe we balance things that we hear. We balance it with the Word of God. We balance it with whom we're hearing it from. But I want us tonight, I want us to begin, if we haven't already, to start looking at what our nation is going through and what our world is going through and what we've gone through the last 2 months through lenses of truth instead of lenses of panic and media dramatization. Okay? And let me say this, if someone is still fearful of this virus, that is absolutely fine. Every individual has to make that decision in their own life. And I'm not making light of that tonight at all. I'm not, and I hope everybody understands that. I hope nobody takes this in a wrong manner whatsoever. But I want us tonight, we have truth. We know what the Word of God says. But you know what? We need to live in truth when it comes to things that are going on in our world. Instead of just listening to what the media says, we need to do our homework. We need to ask questions. We need to study. And we need to look and say, okay, where is that coming from? Who am I hearing that from? What is their agenda? And I've got an article that I read about 2 weeks ago. Actually, it's almost 3 weeks ago, but actually about 2.5 weeks ago that I read right after it was written. And I've been saving it because I wanted to read it when more of our folks were back. And I'm going to read that tonight, and I'm going to compare. It's a 20-page article, so stay with me tonight, okay? But it's good, okay? And we'll get through it quickly. But I want to give us the outline tonight because I want us to think a little bit before I read this article tonight, okay? And I want us to see three things real quickly. I want us to see, first of all, the adversaries of truth. What do we find here in Isaiah 59, or who or what do we find that are adversaries of truth? Well, in verse number 3, we find that defilement is an adversary of truth. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Defilement, deceitfulness. Also in verse number 3, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. What are the adversaries of truth? And by the way, this is true whether it's biblical truth or any other truth for that matter. How many of us know tonight that a lot of people that we hear on national news, whether they're politicians or whether they're pundits or whoever they may be, we understand tonight they lie. What do they say about a politician? If he opens his lips, he's lying. Is that what they say? Now, I know that's not true for every politician, but I hope we understand that tonight. Verse number 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Okay, so what are the adversaries of truth? Defilement, deceitfulness, disinterest. You see what he says there in verse 4? None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. By the way, that's true with the Word of God. Why don't more people know what the Bible says? Disinterest. They don't care. They want somebody to feed them. They don't want to feed themselves. They want somebody to feed them what they know. And you know what? A lot of people live that way today. Whether it's regarding the Bible, whether it's regarding our national news, all they do is listen to what some news anchor says and they take it as gospel. They listen to, they're disinterested in actually, look what it says in verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Look, we have the truth. Hey, why do not more Christians read this every day? Disinterest. I'll go Sunday and I'll let the pastor feed me. Okay, that's an anemic way to live our Christian lives. Now, if you come here Sunday, I'm going to feed you. Or I'm going to try. I may not do a good job every Sunday, but I'm going to do my best. And I put my best foot forward during the week to study and to try to feed you when you come in here on Sunday. But listen, if all you get is Sunday, you're living an anemic life as far as your Christianity goes. Disinterest. Verses 4 through 7. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. What are the adversaries of truth? Defilement, deceitfulness, disinterest. Number four, depravity. Just downright debauchery. You know what we call it? The word is mentioned in verse 7. Evil. Evil. You know, friend, we mentioned, I believe last Sunday night, maybe last Sunday, I don't remember, but or maybe it was a couple Sundays ago, we looked into Ephesians chapter 6, and we've seen this before. But we're in a spiritual battle every day. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, the rulers of wickedness. That's who we battle against. We are in a spiritual battle. And friend, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, look, while churches have closed their doors and while church members have stayed home, you can bet your bottom dollar that the devil hasn't stayed home. The devil's been working. The devil's been doing his minions have been doing his bidding. Evil has been running rampant. Those are adversaries of the truth. And just as the devil doesn't, look, you know what? The devil tonight, there might be someone watching tonight that does not know Christ. You know what? He doesn't want that individual to know the truth of salvation, that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want that individual to know that. Well, you know what? Just like that, the devil doesn't want us to know any kind of truth for that matter. The adversaries of truth, secondly, the aftermath of no truth. What are the results of not having any truth? We read it. We read it beginning in verse number 8. The aftermath of no truth. What happened? By the way, here, the aftermath was they were taken into captivity. We know that. Jerusalem's going to go into captivity to the Babylonians. Israel went into captivity. The northern kingdoms went into captivity to the Assyrians. They went into captivity. That was one of the effects, one of the aftermaths of no truth. Truth had fallen in the street. But look what it says here. Let me give you these real quickly. What are the aftermath? What is the aftermath of no truth? Number one, letter A, we are disturbed. We are a disturbed people. And here's what I mean by that. No peace. No peace. Notice verse 8. When we don't have truth, we don't have peace. Spiritually, financially, I don't know what you think about Dave Ramsey, but why does he call his program Financial Peace? Because he takes biblical principles and he helps people to put them into practice. And when they do that, they have peace. But somebody who doesn't have any truth, they don't know anything about how to handle money. They don't know anything about finances. Many, many times, the way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. There is no peace. The last part of verse 8, whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. What is the aftermath of no truth? We are disturbed. We are a disturbed people. Secondly, we have no discernment. We are disturbed. We have no discernment. Again, verse number 8, there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. No discernment. We are disturbed. We have no discernment. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Thirdly, let us see, we grope in the darkness. We live in darkness. Verse 10, verse 9 says, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall. It's like in the middle of the night when you get up and you forget what day it is. You forget where you're at and you're trying to get to the restroom or you're trying to get to the kitchen, to the refrigerator, get a drink of water, and you forget where you're at. How many of you have done? All of us have done that. You wake up in the middle of the night, where am I? I woke up, I told Brother Gene last two Sundays ago, I woke up that Sunday morning and I woke up and my first thought was, oh man, I'm going to go back to sleep. And then it hit me, today's preaching day. I'm like, I can't go back to sleep. It's Sunday. I thought it was like Friday. Look, we forget and we're groping in the darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We are disturbed. We have no discernment. We grope in darkness. That's the aftermath of no truth. By the way, take a family that lives without truth. That's the aftermath of that family. They're disturbed. There's no peace. They have no discernment. They grope in the darkness. Fourthly, we're in despair. Verse number 11, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. You ever heard of dove? We're sitting out on the back porch the other night listening to the dove. To the doves. The Bible says we mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far off from us. We are in despairs. Fifthly, letter E, we displease the Lord. Notice verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Hey, when truth is not there and you try to live right, you become the hunted. You become the prey. That's what he's saying in verse 15. He that departeth from evil, he that tries to live right when truth has fallen, you make yourself the prey. And notice what the Bible says. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. When he looked and saw truth is fallen in the street, there's no truth, there's no judgment, it displeased the Lord. And it displeases him when we live outside of truth. The adversaries of truth, defilement, deceitfulness, disinterest, depravity. Number two, the aftermath of no truth. We are disturbed. We have no discernment. We grope in darkness. We are in despair and we displease the Lord. And I submit to you tonight, that's where our nation is right now. I want you to think about it. That's where we're at right now as a nation. Why? Because of no truth. Biblical truth, yes, absolutely. They don't have that. But truth about what's going on. We are disturbed. We have no discernment. We grope in the darkness. We are in despair. We displease the Lord. The adversaries of truth, the aftermath of no truth. And then thirdly, we see the Almighty of truth. That's God. The Almighty of truth. Notice verse 16. Verse 15, it says, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man. You know what God was looking for right here? He was looking for a man that would step up and tell the truth and speak the truth. And he said there was no man. There was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. And God in heaven is looking. He said, look, where's the man that's going to tell the truth? And he looks and there's no intercessors. There's no one pleading to me. There's no one begging to me for truth. There's no one begging to me to help them to give out the truth. Therefore, his arm, speaking of God, brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, in verse 16, we're turning to what God is going to do at the end of the ages when he redeems his people, when he saves his people. Verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Notice verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put the word of truth into their mouths. The Almighty of truth. God, the Almighty, desires a man to help her up. You know what he's looking for in verse 16? He's looking for a man to help up truth. Help her up! She's fallen in the street. She's fallen down. She's a casualty to all of the sin that Judah was involved in. Help her up! And there was no man. By the way, God's looking for that today when it comes to scriptural truth. He's looking for men to help her up, because I'm going to tell you what, it's fallen in the streets of America. Help her up! God the Almighty desires a man to help her up. God the Almighty defends her, talking about truth, with His might. Truth always wins. It'll always win. Now, I know sometimes there are a lot of people who don't want to listen to it. They want to ignore it. But eventually, it will win. It always does. Truth always wins. Truth will win the day. God desires a man to help her up. And God defends her with His might. And so I want to read this. And I've got plenty of time. But I want to read this quickly tonight. And the title of the article is The Truth and Lies About Coronavirus. This article was written by a medical doctor who lives in Alabama. He's a family doctor. He's a family practitioner. He lives in Alabama. Everything he says can be backed up, can be looked up. And let me say this. You might come and say, well, that's just one doctor. I could pull countless articles from doctors just like this one. Now, yes, I could probably pull articles from doctors on the other end of the spectrum as well. But I want you to listen to this tonight, because so often we do it in politics. We do it in every phase of our lives. When it comes to money, we listen to voices who are the adversaries of truth. And all I'm asking us tonight is simply this. Let's make sure that we are thoughtful and that we're not disinterested and that we don't just listen to everything that this individual says or this individual says. I'm going to follow up with what that individual said. I'm going to do my homework. I'm not going to be disinterested. Because here's the truth tonight. And by the way, this isn't about money. This isn't about politics. But we have shut our nation down. Let me just read the article. This will help us, okay? The author is David Williams. He's a medical doctor in Alabama. He's a family practitioner. The Truth and Lies About Coronavirus. This is being written on April the 19th, 2020. He says, although there is a central author talking about himself, this is being written on behalf of multiple physicians in West Alabama and will be distributed through multiple medical offices. Between us, we have well over 100 years of practice and have treated hundreds of thousands of patients suffering infectious diseases. Including mission trips, we have treated patients on 5 continents. We planned this date, the date of the article, we planned this date for several reasons. He wrote it on April the 19th. That would have been about 2.5 weeks ago. He says, first, most of our patients, or actually almost 3 weeks by now, first, most of our patients now realize there is something funny about the coverage and handling of this disease. Secondly, if it wasn't being handled differently by April the 19th, we knew it would take action from us and our patients to change the narrative. Finally, we were told in March by our state officials that experts predicted New York, Florida, Texas, and Alabama were projected to have the median most fatalities from the COVID-19 outbreak, with the peak in Alabama expected to be April the 19th. On this date, Alabama was supposed to be on pace for 5,516 deaths and be short over 21,000 hospital beds. And by the way, as of today, this is 3 weeks later, they were supposed to have 5,516 deaths. As of today, they have supposedly, and again, these numbers, I don't think any of the numbers are right. But as of today, Alabama has 393 deaths. That is 7% of what they projected. The information just listed and every piece of information discussed below can be verified with a quick internet search. Many of the sources will be directly referenced. So here goes. And he's going to go truth, lie, and he'll go lie, but he's going to go truth and lie. So truth, he says this, COVID-19 is an actual medical disease that will lead to tragic deaths. Okay, true. Although this seems obvious, it should be clear that no one involved wishes to express anything but sympathy to those affected and their families. Respiratory failure is a terrible way to die. That is true if that death is due to asthma, COPD, pneumonia, influenza, smoke inhalation, cystic fibrosis, ALS, or COVID-19. It's true for any respiratory infection. When we moved here 12 years ago, we had only been here a couple of months, and my wife and I went out to eat one night. The Stillmans were kind enough to keep the kids, and Jonathan had an asthma attack. I don't know what he got into, maybe the hay in the barn or something, or the horses. He had an asthma attack, and by the time we got back from Dyersburg and got him and headed to Ripley to the emergency room, we could barely keep him awake. Okay, so respiratory failure is serious, whether it's asthma, COPD, pneumonia, influenza, smoke inhalation, cystic fibrosis, ALS, or COVID-19. So his first truth, he says COVID-19 is an actual medical disease that will lead to tragic deaths. The first lie that he talks about, we don't know much about coronavirus. He said that's a lie. He said this is one of the media's favorite lies. It is much scarier if it is unknown. We know that coronavirus is a zoonotic disease. In other words, its natural hosts are birds and animals as opposed to humans. We vaccinate domestic animals for them. We know that four forms cause colds every year. We know it mutates and evolves just like the flu. We know it sometimes becomes deadly as it has in SARS and MERS. We have done medical studies on coronavirus as a coexisting illness in patients in the past. The second lie he talks about, COVID-19 is more infectious than influenza. We hear that all the time. That's a lie. According to this doctor, and according to all of the doctors in West Alabama that are associated with him, COVID-19 is more infectious than influenza. This is one of two lies most often quoted by the millions who call national radio programs or post on social media. It is amazing how many people with absolutely no medical training somehow feel qualified to comment on this disease. Now, we want to be more fair than the national media, so we are obligated to report there will never be a study where 1,000 people eat after people with the flu and 1,000 other people with COVID eat after or that. Excuse me, let me back up. To be fair, we are obligated to report that there will never be a study where 1,000 people eat after people with the flu and 1,000 others eat after people with COVID-19 to see which one is more infectious. But the evidence is overwhelming. COVID-19 was first identified late December, early January. A little over 3.5 months in, we have slightly over 2 million confirmed cases globally. Now, that is a lot more now. I think it's over 3 million globally right now. By comparison, according to the National Center for Biotechnology Information, influenza is responsible for up to 1 billion infections annually. 1 billion. And we don't shut down the economy for that. 1 billion. Flu season is basically from the start of October until April. At the flu's 3.5 month mark, that works out to 583 million cases globally. Even accounting for the fact COVID-19 is underreported, that is a huge difference. However, there is even further evidence influenza is more infectious. Drawing from our own experiences, when influenza, and I keep wanting to say flu, and let me just say flu instead of saying influenza. When flu gets started in a daycare or elementary school, they often have to be closed for a short time because otherwise everyone gets it. All the kids, workers, teachers, and parents. The most students in one class we could remember was 23 of 25 out at the same time with the flu. Certainly, daycare classes in both Tuscaloosa and Jefferson counties have been closed this year. Contrast that to what you know about coronavirus. The NBA tested hundreds of players, staff, and media to come up with 14 cases. The vast majority did not contract the virus at all. The most extreme case in terms of possible COVID-19 exposure we could find was the aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt. If you have never toured a military ship, space is at a premium. very tight and crowded conditions. Secondary to this, hundreds of crew would become infected. So 4,800 men and women were exposed to multiple individuals with the virus several times a day, day after day. Despite that constant exposure, 4,140, over 86% of those sailors would never even contract the disease. To address the possible rebuttals, it is absolutely true we don't know the true number of COVID-19 cases. It doesn't make the average person under 60 sick, so we will never account for all of those. However, and again, I know there are folks under 60 that have gotten it, understand that, and he understands it. He says, however, it doesn't even infect the average person with a healthy immune system who comes in contact with it. So the number can only be so high. It is true that testing has not been available everywhere the entire 3.5 months, but we are making up for that by testing generously now. The next slide he speaks about, COVID-19 is more dangerous than influenza. The first lie, remember he said, was more infectious than influenza. This lie, COVID-19 is more dangerous than influenza. The second lie of the medically uninformed. Even among those who do contract COVID-19, most under 60, including virtually everyone under 21, will never know they had it. On the USS Theodore Roosevelt, 60% were asymptomatic. Of the 2 million people who have tested positive for COVID-19 globally, most have had mild to no symptoms. By the 3.5 month mark of flu season, the flu had resulted in over 2 million severe cases requiring hospitalization. Influenza results in 290,000 to 670,000 deaths annually. The next lie. The fact one doesn't know he or she has COVID-19 makes it more dangerous. All viruses shed and are primarily spread while the infected host is asymptomatic. Repeat, all viruses do this. We use the term virulence to describe how dangerous a virus is. The more virulent, the more likely to cause infection or more severe symptoms. One's chance of becoming infected with anything is multifactorial. In other words, lots of things come into play. The infectiousness and quantity of the pathogen comes into play. Your level of rest, nutrition, stress, age, and general health come into play as well. In the case of flu, if you contract it, you're going to get sick. There will never be a time where the NBA tests hundreds of players and staff to find 14 cases of flu. 2 with mild symptoms and 12 with no symptoms. If you get flu, even if you are Michael Jordan, who had perhaps the most famous flu game of all time, you are going to know it. That is because the flu is so virulent that in 24 to 48 hours, it overwhelms even the immune system of a healthy adult and you develop symptoms. But in that 24 hours, it is multiplying. Everyone around you is at risk. Depending on the exact exposure, the risk goes from high probability to certainty of contracting. For instance, none of y'all better be doing this. If a high school student kisses their boyfriend or girlfriend during that day, they are getting the flu. Better not be kissing your boyfriend, I'm telling you what. But COVID-19 is so much less virulent, it usually never overcomes the immune system of a healthy adult. Yes, they will shed this virus for up to 2 weeks, but most people around them still won't even know it. All right, then he talks about a truth. COVID-19 is more dangerous to the elderly and immunocompromised. Truth. And then he goes right into another truth, almost the same. He says that doesn't really mean anything in and of itself because everything is more dangerous to those unfortunate individuals. It does mean we should try to protect those individuals from infections in general. The next truth, it is now almost impossible for anyone in the general public or general medical community to know the actual number of deaths from COVID-19, and that is absolutely true. That is because sometime in March, U.S. hospitals started testing all ER patients and every patient who died, regardless of cause of death, for COVID-19. Those patients are being included by the media in COVID-19 death tolls. Yes, a victim of a car accident brought to a U.S. ER who passes away will be tested for COVID-19. Two of the most egregious examples of misrepresentation involve infants. One of the fascinating things about coronaviruses from a medical standpoint is children are almost universally immune to deleterious effects. A study from back in 2004 and 2005 was conducted in which swabs were done in both controls and children hospitalized for respiratory illness. The incidence of coronavirus was the same for controls and hospitalized children, and the conclusion was HCOV, coronavirus infection, was not associated with hospitalization or with increased severity of illness in those hospitalized due to other infections. Obviously, COVID-19 is not included in that study since it was first identified recently. However, COVID-19 has not been associated with pediatric illness anywhere, not China, not South Korea, not Italy or Spain. So on March 29, when BuzzFeed and an Illinois paper, The Guardian, led with the headline, "The first infant has died in the U.S. after testing positive for the coronavirus," it caught our attention. The article goes on to say the infant's death was announced by Governor J.B. Pritzker, and depending on which article you read, either Pritzker or Dr. Ezeki, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, said, "If you haven't been paying attention to COVID-19, maybe this is your wake-up call." On April the 2nd, CBS News reported Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont had announced, "It is with heartbreaking sadness today that we can confirm the first pediatric fatality in Connecticut linked to COVID-19. He went on to say it was likely one of the youngest deaths from the disease anywhere. The problem is neither death has actually been attributed to COVID-19. On April the 3rd, the Hartford Courant correctly clarified that all patients who die in Connecticut hospitals were being tested for the virus regardless of the manner of death, and that Connecticut's chief medical examiner had not ruled COVID-19 to be the infant's cause of death. Just yesterday, April the 18th, NBC 5 Chicago reported Chicago Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwadi said it is preliminarily believed the infant in Illinois did not die from coronavirus. New York is also a source of great misinformation. On March the 22nd, Sky News ran footage of a hospital in Italy. On March 25th, CBS This Morning ran the same footage. However, they claimed it was filmed in New York. Citizen reporters by the dozens have recorded empty testing tents and idle ambulance crews when the national media has reported hours-long waits at the same testing sites and overstretched ambulance crews. You can find those videos on YouTube, although they don't always make it easy. But there are enough people interested in getting the truth out there. They are consistently reposted. At the time of publishing this link, or it gives a link, I don't want to give that. On April 14th, the New York Times reported New York City officials at the health department had increased its death toll by 3,700 who never tested positive for the virus. They were presumed to have died from it. And he gives a revision on April the 23rd. He said, "This is actually much worse than we thought. According to Worldometers, from January 1st to April 1st, 2020, the worldwide deaths from COVID-19 were 46,438. As opposed to 121,993 from flu. To recap, during the same 3 months, with the same social distancing, the same shelter in place, and even handicapped with a vaccine against it, the flu still killed more than 2.5 times as many people as COVID-19, even while we were sheltered at home. The flu. In terms of deciding to shut down the economy, there were 11 causes of death on the list. Flu and COVID-19 were ranked a distant 10th and 11th. On March 23rd, 2020, a Vox.com article by Dylan Scott outlined COVID-19 risk by age group. CDC figures cited a death rate of 2.7% for those 65 to 74, 4.3% for those 75 to 84, and 10.4% for those 85 and over. How does a virus that killed 46,000 globally in 3 months, and which about 96% of those 75 to 84 and 90% of those 85 and older survive, suddenly kill 144,000 in the next 3 weeks? How does that happen? 3 months, you have 46,000. 3 weeks, you have 144,000. On April the 2nd, 2020, the National Vital Statistics System, which is part of the CDC, provided new guidance regarding the issuing of death certificates. COVID-19 was to be listed if it was assumed to cause or contribute to a death. For example, if someone dies from pneumonia, respiratory distress, or COPD and has exhibited coronavirus symptoms, their certificate will list COVID-19 as a presumed contributing factor. since shortness of breath, fever, and or cough will be exhibited in all respiratory illnesses, every such death could potentially be recorded as a COVID-19 fatality. This certainly appears to be happening across the board. We have never seen any disease handled in this way. Any medical professional who can provide an example of similar protocol is encouraged to share such a case. It completely defies any scientific method to work based on assumption. Even doctors opposed to reopening the economy should be upset because we will never have accurate numbers concerning this disease. To complicate matters further, if your city attributes enough deaths to COVID-19, it can request billions of dollars in federal aid. The next truth. The current policies instituted by our local, state, and national governments are causing greater health problems than the virus ever will. According to the Wall Street Journal, 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment in just 4 weeks. When you consider spouses and children, it seems reasonable that up to 70 million Americans would be affected by that number. Staying at home is not without consequence. Those individuals are at significantly higher risk of depression, suicide, domestic abuse, and other mental health issues. Brother Snow has been telling us for the last few weeks his neighbor is absolutely terrified. And his neighbor, one day, just a week or so ago, or maybe a couple weeks ago now, he found a rash on his body. He thought he had COVID-19. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, "You need to stop stressing." He said, "You got shingles." Because of all the stress he had put on his body, where he told them, "I'm going to die from this." And he's putting all this stress on his body, and he ended up with shingles. The stress is making them more likely to become ill from all manner of disease. Many have lost their insurance. Some will become divorced. Hundreds of thousands of medical procedures have been canceled or delayed. There's another threat to our health. Rural hospitals have closed in large numbers in recent years. The situation with COVID-19 has placed many more community hospitals of all sizes at risk. Most are relatively empty and are bleeding cash. The next truth. The media as a whole has grossly misrepresented this disease. We felt if we use the word deliberately, we may have to present this as an opinion, but it sure appears deliberate. A couple of national examples include the CBS This Morning story referenced above and then yesterday's CNN story. The headline read, "Jacksonville Beach packed as Florida coronavirus cases hit record," and they ran a photo taken in the past of a Los Angeles County beach to show the crowd. Okay, Los Angeles is all the way on the other side of the country from Jacksonville. Locally, on April 14th, local news outlets used the headline, "Mayor Walt Maddox to pitch plan to reopen Tuscaloosa on April the 28th. While not technically untrue, that sounds like the plan is to reopen the city on April the 28th. In reality, it should have read, "On April the 28th, Mayor Walt Maddox is to pitch a plan to reopen Tuscaloosa," because no plan is even to be presented until April the 28th. A Tuscaloosa news headline today read, "Prison system reports COVID-19 death." You had to read the article to find the 66-year-old victim was already terminally ill and had been hospitalized since April the 4th in critical care for his pre-existing conditions. He only tested positive on the last day of his life. Opinion. He's given an opinion here. He says, "The way in which the media has pushed fear nonstop amounts to psychological warfare against this country." And I agree with that. Agree with that. If it hasn't occurred, and by the way, I look around, I don't think anybody in here has been fearful at all. I don't think so at all. But our news media, you take people who don't know Christ, you take people who don't have the truth of God's Word, and all they hear, and they're disinterested to actually go find out for themselves, and all they hear is the constant drumbeat. Man, this is never going to end. It's coming back in the fall. What are we going to do if it comes back in the fall? You know, and over and over and over again. Truth. Actually, it says, "If it hasn't occurred to you that we have heard one story and essentially one story alone for literally 2 months, well, that should have aroused suspicion." Truth. The media will continue to fight reopening of this country by stating experts predict a spike in deaths if we do so. By the way, I read an article today. The first state to reopen was Georgia. They have had the lowest new cases in the past few days of any other state. Now, that may spike. It may still spike. But they've been open for a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks now. And they've had the lowest reported cases in the last couple of days. We would assume those are the same experts who initially predicted 2.2 million U.S. deaths, revised to 200, then 100,000. then ordered testing all U.S. deaths just in case they had coronavirus, because we weren't on pace for even 30,000 prior to that change in policy. Truth, not every country has shut down their economy, and none of those countries have suffered higher rates of death because they have kept their economy going. One of the searches done prior to putting this together related to countries who kept their businesses open. One of the lowest mortality rates in the entire world is Japan, who fits that description. Looking for the country with the highest mortality rate and an open economy, we came across an article with a very liberal bent that described two Scandinavian countries. It described how uncaring Sweden was as it conducted business as usual, while Denmark cared for its people because it shut down. The expected mortality rate for Sweden was 69 people per million, whereas Denmark was 39 per million. If you take 69 and multiply it by 340, for 340 people, million people in the United States, it comes out to 23,640, or about 15,000 fewer people than we are expected to lose to the flu this year. Opinion. Medical organizations have failed this country. Literally every doctor in America should know everything listed above, everything he's already mentioned. He said every doctor can know that. So why haven't organizations like the AMA, the American Medical Association, and the AAFP, the American Academy of Family Physicians, as well as state organizations, presented this information to their governors and the president? Truth, China is involved, but not how you think. We cannot tell you how many times people have expressed consternation about not knowing what China is hiding. Generally, they feel it is horrific death numbers or the genesis story of the virus. China withheld information about the virulence of COVID-19. They knew they had cases of asymptomatic individuals, possibly hundreds of thousands of such patients. By not including this data, it changed the mortality rate greatly. Initial terror regarding COVID-19 was a 4% mortality rate in China. Most would now concede the mortality rate is less than 0.2%, given the high number of asymptomatic patients. Meanwhile, the Chinese are buying property in affected areas, particularly Italy, and likely not unhappy with what is happening in America, given their trade battles with President Trump. Truth, the NBA canceled their season voluntarily with no external domestic pressures, and China is a huge market for them. Their financial interests in China were threatened after a single tweet from Houston General Manager Daryl Morey in October supporting Hong Kong protesters. After literally a single runny nose, the NBA canceled their season and proceeded to test hundreds of healthy individuals looking for COVID-19. We find it fascinating. No one in the media and certainly no one at ESPN has asked questions about that behavior. Truth. And this is what we saw in Isaiah 59. People are lazy or they have an agenda. And that is true. People are lazy or they have an agenda. Not only did the media not ask pertinent questions about the NBA, they have not reached out to knowledgeable health professionals even when they were provided the names and contacts of such individuals. If the narrative did not fit COVID-19 terror, it was ignored. We know this has happened both locally and nationally. Local, state, national politicians have done the same thing. All of the information here is readily available. So if any elected official has said anything along the lines of, as a leader, I feel a responsibility to keep people safe, to support restrictions on you or local businesses, ask that official what research he or she was basing his or her decision on. The general public is lazy. And by the way, that's the truth when it comes to spiritual matters, too. We're lazy. The general public is lazy. They read headlines. Grossly misleading headlines, by the way. So when you pass this on, you will have to insist people actually read the whole thing. And by the way, I'm not going to do that because I've still got several pages. Let me just give you the truths, okay? I'm not going to read the what's in between. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is making a fortune and he wants you to stay home. True. Truth, COVID-19 has been treated like a world ender. It's not even remotely close. Truth, quarantine, and listen to this, I want you to listen to this. Quarantine is a period or place of isolation in which people who have been exposed or infected with a contagious disease are placed. The government has used it to impose shelter in place on healthy individuals and close businesses. There are words for that, but quarantine is not one of those words. Truth, this is not a medical crisis, but a political crisis. I know I may get backlash on that one, but read the article. Read the article. I do want to read this part under that. He says Mayor Walt Maddox, and he talks about a bunch of the different politicians, is a Democrat. It said he told us in March that if he did nothing, Tuscaloosa County would experience 3,686 deaths due to COVID-19. How many deaths do you think they've had as of today? They projected 3,686. Four. Did you read my message tonight? Hey, were you in my living room this afternoon? Four. I looked it up. You know how much? That is 0.1% of what they projected. 0.1%. Truth. The Alabama coronavirus numbers presented in the opening paragraph appear to be way off. And we've already mentioned that. There's only 393 deaths as opposed to between 5,500 and 6,000. Truth. If you love your children, enjoy sports, or know anyone who owns... By the way, I don't care about the sports thing. But if you love your children or know anyone who owns or is employed by a small business, you should be angry. Truth. Truth. Nothing will change unless it is demanded. Now, Pastor, are you saying there's nothing to this virus? Not at all. We already read it. It's a virus that tragically kills people who have underlying conditions, who have weakened immune systems, who have COPD, asthma, or any of those respiratory-related illnesses. It is a tragic death. We are not diminishing that at all tonight. But I am telling you tonight that I believe with all my heart, and people can, and I'm not going to argue with anybody about it, but I believe, look, this is a medical doctor. It's not me. I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. Okay? This is a medical doctor. My opinion is that I have lots of opinions about what has happened. But all I'm saying tonight, this is all I'm saying tonight, truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the streets of America. We heed everything that's said from the news media. We listen, as it said, Americans are lazy. The vast majority of American public is lazy. All they do is listen to headlines. They read headlines. And by the way, I do that sometimes. I read the headline, never read the whole article. You ought to read the article, not just the headline, because the media is going to, they're going to twist and bend that article, that headline, the way they want it to be. And all I'm asking tonight is let's not let truth fall in the street when it comes to dealing with this virus. People's lives that they have worked for decades have been destroyed. And by the way, it's not about money necessarily. I'm not saying that. Although it's ridiculous that we have destroyed people's lives and livelihoods based upon what I firmly believe, based upon many things that I have read, based upon a lot of false information. Now, I'll be honest with you. When all this first started, I was probably just like everybody else. Oh, man, Spanish flu. That's what I'm thinking of. Spanish flu from the 1918s. Or the 19, I don't know if it's 1918 or not, but that's what I was thinking of. But the more this has gone along, and just the constant drumbeat, the daily, it's better if you stay home, it's better if you stay home. No, it's not. And I'm not telling anybody to not be careful and cautious. I am not saying that at all. My mother is 75 years old. She has asthma problems. She needs to be careful. Because just like with the flu, if she gets the flu, she could die. She could die. She needs to be careful. I'm not saying that tonight. But I am saying, look, God's given us knowledge. He's given us lots of biblical. He's given us truth in the Word. Okay, He gives us that Word so that we can say, okay, what about this situation? They said this. Okay, is that true? Who said that? What is their agenda? Have they done the research or are they being lazy? I am thankful. I don't know very many, and we're done. I'm going to pray. We're going to be done. If you want a copy of this, I'll make you a copy. I have a clean copy that hasn't been written on in my office. If you want a copy, I'll let you have it. You can go in the office and make a copy of it. That'll be fine tonight. But, man alive, what was I getting ready to say? I forgot what I was going to say. What was I talking about, y'all? Man alive, that's what I said, wasn't it? I guess the Lord says I need to be done. Amen. Shoo, what was I going to say? Anyway, let's stand. We've said enough. If you do want a copy, I'll give it to you. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The best I know, and I don't know all of the what every state has done, but the best I know, there was one state that didn't shut down. That was South Dakota. I'm going to tell you what, I think a lot of that governor. She's taking a lot of heat. But she said, look, we're South Dakota. We're spread out. Why am I going to shut down the entirety of my state? If we need to quarantine some areas, fine. If this meatpacking plant that had a problem, okay, let's quarantine, let's send some people home. I'm not shutting down my whole state. That's leadership. That's looking at the entirety of everything that's going on and not just having a knee-jerk reaction and saying, you know what, everybody else is doing it, I guess we need to do it. No. That's what leadership is all about. You lead. And look, not every place is New York City. And by the way, New York City has probably borne the brunt. By the way, I don't believe the numbers are right, but they've borne more of the brunt than probably any other state in America. But we're not New York City. What's going to happen if this supposedly comes back with a vengeance in the fall? I don't believe you're going to get Americans back in the cage. You let them out, I don't think we're going back. And all I'm asking tonight, let's look and let's view everything in our world through the lenses of truth. And let's do our homework. We do that with the Bible. We study. We study, we study, we study to know the truth. Okay, we ought to do that in every area of our life. Okay. And I had an article about the economy. I didn't want to send you to suicidal thoughts tonight, but we have put more $2 or $3 trillion on the debt because of the stimulus. We ought to know these things. We ought to keep our eyes open. And to me, I just think, look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I don't know that, but if he comes back, praise the Lord, we don't have to deal with this anyway. Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. We're going to have an invitation tonight. But help her up. Help her up. Truth is fallen in the street. Let's be disseminators of truth. Amen. Father, thank you for what you've helped us with tonight. Father, we love you. And Father, I do pray. I know there are scores of individuals that are dealing with this virus. And Father, we are not insensitive or diminishing that at all. Father, we lift them up tonight. We pray for healing on their bodies. But Father, at the same time, we need to live our lives based on truth. And we need to live our lives based on knowledge and facts. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Father, we love you tonight. Give us safety as we go to our homes. Bring us back together on Wednesday night, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You are dismissed.